This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
I have to sort of give full disclosure, as Joe said, I mostly am at the VA, so I've adapted Dr. Sampson's slides because running the vascular lab at the VA is much different than in private practice. No disclosures. Winds of change are blowing hard. So there's some challenges that are facing the vascular lab. There's also a couple of opportunities. A number of these challenges are related to finding and recruiting qualified technologists, the cost of equipment, the fact that CTs and MRAs are widely available and often can be used instead of the vascular lab. And then there's, of course, this issue of reimbursement, carrier rules in terms of appropriate use, and competition from untrained physicians. And so this is Dr. Sampson's language, which I kind of liked, about abusive practices from your competitors. There are a number of labs out there that are employing unqualified personnel to perform and or interpret the studies, essentially sort of mobile facilities that are going straight to a physician's office or a health fair, that encourage overuse and poor quality studies. The difficulty here is that these studies come with a sort of questionable interpretation and accuracy, and when they need to be repeated by us, the vascular surgeons, there's really a challenge here because you don't get reimbursed for a study being repeated in a short time. Now, luckily, as thoughtful and superb vascular surgeons, we have a lot of opportunities here. There's very good ultrasound technology. There's improved physiologic technology. And then there, you know, really the big change here has been in the reporting packages and the ability to sort of communicate in a better fashion with the referring MDs to make sure that there's a better utility of the studies, utility in the OR, and then also the push from the insurers for trained personnel, both performing and interpreting the studies. So just to sort of talk about a number of ways that the lab can be optimized. Really, I think the key first step here is to bring in a reporting package. The reporting package is really just sort of a long term for a database that allows you to put in all your patient information. It communicates directly with the ultrasound machine or your vascular testing machine to acquire data. It uses a hard drive, but it also allows you to do a number of more sophisticated data manipulation and analysis steps and clinical report and generation. So again, you know, by directly entering patient data, you sort of can skip a certain amount of paper workflow. You can use mouse clips, clicking fields for the techs to be able to very quickly and efficiently put in their findings. You have automated calculation of values and, of course, a direct input from the machine to the computer and computer-generated conclusions, which then can be interpreted, and, of course, fax reports as soon as your studies are complete. One of the big areas here is, of course, data analysis. You can make sure that you are maintaining the levels of quality that you expect to by looking at the accuracy of the lab exams as well as the accuracy of your technologist's studies. That you can generate computer logbooks, look at your scheduling, figure out efficiency and workflow. Also use managed care information and do analyses in terms of referrals and patient demographics, who you're seeing and from whom. In terms of maintaining high quality studies, of course, the iCable seal of approval for vascular lab accreditation is very important. A number of these modern software packages allow you to generate iCable reports directly. You can see in this illustration here, you've got the requisite angiogram to go along with the carotid duplex study, which is, of course, what you need to submit to iCable. Then overall, just looking at your quality, you can run accuracy, sensitivity, and specificity reports, receiver operating curves. You know, the fact is that a lot of these guidelines in terms of the criteria for different levels of stenosis and that sort of things, they're, you know, these are moving targets. These things do change. And so by having a very accurate depiction of what's going on in your vascular lab with your studies, you're able to adapt as the studies do. You can look at you know, focusing more on the quality. You can look at the technologist, you know, the technologist on sort of inter and intra tech variability in terms of the studies and the interpretations. Also looking in terms of thinking about how to improve the efficiency of your vascular lab, what the test duration and the overall productivity of your techs may be. You can also look at the efficiency of the interpreting physician in terms of time to completion of your reports. It also allows you to sort of look at what sort of tests you are being referred to you from the ordering physicians. Are these appropriate for the disease process that they are marking in terms of the presumed diagnosis? Are they appropriate requests? You know, venous tests, for instance, don't have to be done every single day. And is there appropriate indication for billing purposes? In other words, is the diagnosis attached to the study appropriate for how it's going to be billed? In terms of the administrative part, this, of course, allows you to keep track of timely report distribution, log sheets, scheduling, and follow-up. And then on the patient side, you can also improve your quality in terms of compliance. If you have particular surveillance programs in your practice for after lower extremity bypass or following carotids and aneurysms, this also allows you to track things like complaints and any sort of questions that may come from a patient. So, you know, thinking about big data, of course, this we're talking about usually a vascular lab, which is maybe doing several thousand studies a year. This is not exactly big data, but you can take advantage of these databases to do more sophisticated data searches and sort of automated things. So, you know, for instance, you could look at the men in the database who are over 65 who have a history of smoking to see if they've ever been screened for a AAA according to the USPTF. Recommendations. You can also use your data to look at studies and do queries to see if anybody has an aneurysm that appears to be growing 5 millimeters in 6 months, which would be someone that you'd, of course, want to pay a little closer attention to. You can also use it to automate calculations in terms of growth rates and track the size of an aneurysm. You can, which of course we'll talk about a little bit more in the subsequent sessions, take a look for any, you know, patients with carotid stenosis or patients who have restenosis or, you know, who are having increasing levels of stenosis on ultrasound. Bypass graft surveillance, this not only allows you to track sort of any developing stenoses in a bypass graft, but if you have your patients on a given follow-up schedule, it allows for an automated automated process of sending out reminders, getting patients back in for their surveillance in a timely fashion, and making sure that you're not missing any sort of a developing stenosis. Of course, there can be data manipulation, as we talked about, in terms of if diagnostic criteria are changing. If you put this into something that you can remotely access, either cloud-based or VPN-based, of course, you can then read your reports from anywhere that you'd like. And, you know, I think just to sort of highlight a couple of the diseases and vascular beds that are particularly well-suited to the vascular lab, we, of course, carotid disease and looking for the degree of stenosis. It's, of course, a very fast and fairly risk-free exam, fairly well tolerated, and in terms of exams of things that are developing in terms of plaque morphology, and you know, these are opportunities where the criteria again for diagnosing and stroke risk may change as techniques improve. Venous disease, well, you know, duplex imaging is really the gold standard now for DVT and venous reflux. It's really the dominant use of the vascular lab in hospitals. Vein mapping is really a very important tool for both dialysis access or bypass surgery. Arterial physiologic studies are rapid, allow for a longitudinal evaluation over time, and can help, of course, with looking for evaluations of a patient with claudication or critical limb ischemia. Arterial duplex imaging is a more time-consuming exam, but can be used to help you plan a surgical intervention can help with studies moving forward more quickly. So sort of in summary, an optimized lab really optimizes the modern vascular practice. I'm sure that for most of the people here, a sort of high-quality vascular lab is an indispensable part of tool in your practice. And I think, the message here is just that there are more newer, sort of sophisticated ways to handle the data and the studies that you are performing that will allow you to sort of optimize your clinical quality and patient care. Thank you.
We have time for one question. Could I ask you about the post-treadmill ABI and when you use that and how do you get it set up?
Well, so of all these things, that's actually one thing that we do quite a bit at the VA. Essentially, what we've come up with is an algorithm. Most patients who are referred to us for intermittent claudication will have a treadmill exam. We just find that it becomes a very efficient way. Even, if somebody has an abnormal ABI, it maybe is not as necessary, but certainly in a VA population where there's a high level prevalence of neurogenic claudication, it just helps us distinguish between arterial and neurogenic sources.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.